Thank you. Thank you. Hey, good morning, everybody. It is, man, it's so good to be here. So on this topic of prayer, I Christian or non-Christian or some other form of religion, I don't care who you are or what you believe. There comes a point in time in everybody's life when you pray. Life just has a way of bringing you to your knees or to your breaking point or whatever you want to call it, and you come before the Lord. You get to that moment, right? Like, you've been there before where you sit there and go, well, if there is a God, here we go. And dear Lord, whoever you are, I need you to fill in the blank, right? Like, it's usually a help me kind of prayer. You get to that point in your life, atheist, agnostic, like they all, and probably they become atheist or agnostic because they prayed a prayer and they didn't see God move the way that they wanted to. But there comes a point in time in, I think, everybody's life when they pray, they get to that breaking point and they pray. I can think back, like, one of the first ones that's just like seared into my mind is when we had the birth of our first kid, Nolan, right? We were in the hospital and we're sitting there, right? Like, you do the birth and that in and of itself is incredible. And you fast forward and they say, all right, you're free to go. And so we just take this little baby, like you've done this before, right? You just take this little baby. What do? You plop him in the car and you just drive away. Like, they just let you go. Like, okay. Like, what do I do? We just got in the car, and I can remember, the hospital was about an hour and a half away. We had just moved to San Diego, but our hospital and everything else was out in LA. So we had this big, long commute, and I have prayed like I've never prayed before on that drive. Hands were at 10 and 2. I'm locked in, checking all the mirrors and everything, and I'm like, Lord Jesus, help me, help me, help me. I'm going to give it all I got, but I need you. I need a hedge of protection, right? Like, you've done the prayers. You've prayed all these things before. I think one of the more recent ones was actually for our family to come here. About 2.5 years ago, my wife and I looked at each other and we just sort of felt God had something more. We were trying to figure out what was next. We felt like we had more to give to the local church. We weren't sure if it was going to be that local church. And so what do you do in a time, in a season of change, of transition, of feeling like there's something more? What is next? So we did what many of you do. We prayed. And we prayed. And we prayed. And we prayed individually. And we prayed as a married couple, as a family. We even had our friends in our small group pray for us. And we prayed and we prayed because we knew, we were 100% convinced that there was something more. There was something next for us. We just didn't know what it was. So we prayed and we prayed and we've asked other people to pray and then nothing happened. And so I stopped. See, I knew there was another job. I knew there was a position. There was a church somewhere and I was searching for it and trying to figure out what was next. And so I had been on every website known to man. I had sent out every email that I possibly could to anyone who might know somebody that might be in contact with a church somewhere about something. Like, that's how far it went. And so we prayed and then we prayed more and then I stopped praying because I kind of, maybe like you, got tired and gave up. Because I started asking myself that question of does the prayer move God or does God already have the game plan in mind? And he has already decided what's going to happen. And so I leaned into that and said, well, God's sovereign. He's going to go and take care of it. I'll just do my thing over here on the side. So started looking, started searching, and then just, kind of forgot about God in the process. And one day, lo and behold, on a website, a little thing popped up. Some community in Washington, of all places, Linden. What is this? Let's give it a shot. And so, fast forward, here I am. It's great to be here, by the way. Thanks for having me. But I started thinking, okay, did God answer my prayer? Did he answer the prayer of my wife? Because she's a far better prayer than I am. Or did he answer the prayers of our friends and our community and our small group? Or did God have this whole thing orchestrated anyways? And it just played itself out. See, regardless if you've been praying your whole life or not, we all can improve in prayer, can we not? I think we all have that learning curve. Man, we can all improve when it comes to our ideas of prayer. And just because you've been praying your whole life doesn't mean necessarily that you understand everything about prayer. And so we're going to look at a passage today that's going to teach us how to pray and actually get an answer. Because like me, I'm 100% convinced that many of you have had prayers and you've prayed them and you've received zero information back. You ever feel like when you're praying, you're talking to a ceiling? Like that's how far it goes. It's just a one-way thing. Jesus is going to tell us in this passage we're going to look at in a moment how to pray and actually get an answer. And I think that's what everyone is after. In those moments of joy when things are going well and they're great and you're like, yes, Lord, let's just ride this wave forever. And then there's also a part of us, man, in those moments where we're brought to our knees and we're doing, Jesus, would you help me? I need you to pull through. I need you to come and help. I need you to save. After all, that's what you do. Because we've all had questions, right? Maybe it was, am I not saying the right thing? Is there a secret code word that unlocks God's hand of blessing and that's how it works? Is there like a secret handshake? Maybe you heard somewhere along the lines that you didn't have enough faith. And if you had more faith, then God would bless and answer. Whatever it is, we all have questions. And I think, can we all agree that we can all improve when it comes to prayer? Can we all agree? Quick show of hands. Okay, fantastic. I love doing the hand thing because you look around and immediately you realize, oh, I'm not the only one. Yeah, we're all in this thing together. So if you've got a Bible, and I hope you do, if you have a Bible, I want you to open up to the Gospel of Luke. And we'll pick it up in chapter 11. We'll start in verse 1, chapter 11. And Luke is in the New Testament. And you go Matthew, Mark, and help me out. Luke. Luke's that third book in there. The best way, if you don't have, if your Bible doesn't light up and glow and you're old school and you're using paper and ink, the best way to find it is simply go to your table of contents. No shame, I do it all the time. Go to your table of contents, figure out what that is, flip over to the page number. The rest of you just punch it in and it'll pop up right there. So Luke chapter 11, we'll pick it up in verse 1. Now, I need to set the scene for a moment. Now, imagine you've been traveling with Jesus. We're 11 chapters into his journey. Imagine you've been traveling with Jesus. And you've seen him do this multiple times. In the morning, he'll get up and he'll leave and he'll pray. In the evening, he'll get up, he'll leave, and he'll go to a certain spot and he'll pray. And sometimes he'll invite a close circle of friends. There it is. That's what I'm trying to say. He'll invite three dudes to come with him to watch and to join in prayer. And after a while, you see him do this, you got to ask yourself the question, what are you doing and how's it work? Wouldn't you be curious? One of the disciples here is curious. Jesus is going away and he's going to ask him a question. He says, okay, how do I actually do this? Because Jesus, we've prayed prayers and we've seen you pray prayers and your response is far greater than ours. Like, I know you're God, but is there a technique or what are we doing here? And Jesus is going to answer this. He's going to teach the disciples how to pray. So Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Are you there? Okay, one person's there. We're going to do this. Thank you. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Underline that real quick. In a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John, this is John the Baptist, just as John taught his disciples. Verse 2, he said to them, when you pray, say, circle, underline, highlight, smiley face, arrows, that word say. It is incredibly important. And I'll tell you why. Building the suspense by being silent. I'll tell you why. It's the first thing in your notes. Number one, prayer is an action, not an attitude. Prayer is an action. It is something that you say. It is not an attitude of prayer or simply being what I like to call God aware. That you say. The very first thing Jesus taught his disciples to do is to say. Is to speak, right? It's right there. Verse 2. He said to them, when you pray, say. So that's really, really important. The first thing is to say something, not being spiritually aware. Think of it this way. This is why this is so incredibly important. In your marriage, think about this for a moment. For those of you who are married, I want my wife to be aware of me at all times. That's how needy and I want to be special. So I want her to be aware of me of all times. When she's hanging out with her girlfriends, I want her to be aware of her husband. When she's shopping, I want her to be aware of her husband. When she's hanging out with the kids, when she's going through life, when she's doing whatever she's doing, I want her to be aware of me. I want her to think through in her mind, hey, if I purchase this, how is this going to affect my husband and our goals that we have for our family? Are you with me? Thinking and being aware of me is great. What's even better is her talking to me. I want a relationship with my wife. I don't want her to simply think about me. I want her to talk with me. And I believe this is what Jesus is saying with prayer. He's like, yeah, I even know your thoughts. Think the thoughts. That's great. But I want the relationship. That requires that we communicate, not just think, but we communicate with one another. So when you pray, I want you to say, I want you to speak. Now, sometimes we get this idea that we're continually in prayer, or we're God aware and we're thinking in prayer and we're never stopping praying. And I know where we get this idea, and I think it's a misinterpretation of a verse. It's a very common verse. You probably know it. You don't even need to flip there. But it's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. And maybe you learned it in the old King James version, but it simply says this: pray without ceasing. It's really hard to do when you're asleep. You with me? And this may sound like a technicality, so bear with me, but it's really hard When I'm sleeping, I have ceased from prayer. I'm not God aware. I'm asleep. I'm dreaming. I'm in La La Land. And it's great. But this idea, what Paul is saying here in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. What he's saying is pray without stopping or giving up. Persevere in your prayer. Be persistent in your prayer. He's not saying 24 hours a day, be prayerful. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I know this is we're being very technical here, so stay with me. I'm not saying don't be God aware. By all means, he's here right now amongst us. We should be aware of this. And as you go throughout your day, as you watch the shows that you watch, as you spend the money that you spend, as you have the conversations with people that you socialize with, as we go throughout our day, we need to be aware of God. But there's a difference between being aware of God and communicating with God. And this is what Jesus is getting at. So let's keep going. Verse 2, he starts out this way. He says, Father, hallowed be your name. Holy, set apart, be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Now, if you grew up with a church background, maybe some of you have a Catholic background, some of you have a Protestant background, you're like, wait a minute, he forgot something. He left a couple things out. If you were taught this prayer growing up, you memorized it, you say, oh, he forgot something. Did Jesus forget? Did he have like a mental cramp and he just forgot what to say? No, there's actually two versions of what we call the Lord's Prayer. There's one in Luke and then there's one in Matthew chapter 6. It is. And there's two different versions. Which reinforces the point that I'm about to give you, which is number 2 in your notes. The point is this: the Lord's Prayer is a model to follow, not a magical formula. Some of you grew up and you could live like hell, but you knew the Lord's Prayer, so it was fine. You used it as like a magical formula. That's not what Jesus is telling his disciples. That's not what he's teaching us today. It's not something that you recite. Now, it's not bad if you recite it, but how many of you know rituals can be empty? Your tradition you do for the sake of tradition, not for the sake of the one it's designed for. This is what we call going through the motions. Again, if you've ever been in a relationship or in a marriage where you go through the motions, everything is there except for the heart. That part is lacking. So there's two different versions of it. But again, the Lord's Prayer is a model to follow, not a magical formula. Look, let's read it again, okay? Father. Notice he says Father. He doesn't say distant cosmic being. Father, there's a closeness, there's an intimacy there in the relationship. He said, holy or set apart is your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. This is the provision. Lord, would you provide what I need today on a daily basis? Forgive us our sins, right? This is confession. This is good for the soul. It's good for the relationship. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Oh, that one's tough. By the way, he's implying here not just like mentally we forgive them and let them go, but action. I've forgiven the other person. And he ends it this way. He says, and lead us not into temptation. That's the prayer of protection. From outside forces, maybe other people, maybe systems, definitely spiritual, but also a prayer for self-control. Would you protect me so I don't shipwreck my family in my decision? He's saying when you pray, you could sum up the Lord's Prayer in two things. Are you ready? If you want to take notes off to the side, you can sum it up in two simple things. The first one, you pray for God's agenda, that he would be glorified, that his kingdom would come here on earth. It would be fully realized here. And then the second thing is you pray for your needs. That's the list. We all have a list. Everybody has a list. So you pray for God's agenda and you pray for your needs. You could sum it up. It's a model. It's not a formula. Because you know, in any sort of relationship, formulas don't work. They break down, don't they? Not to keep going back to marriage, but I think it's a wonderful illustration for this relationship. If your relationship with your spouse is formulaic, it gets old and predictable after a while, doesn't it? I mean, don't get me wrong, it's better than nothing. Because at least you have your regularly scheduled date night. At least you can anticipate certain things. But it turns a friendship, it turns a relationship, it turns a love into just a ritual. Well, it's Tuesday, so I guess we have tacos. Why? Well, we've always had tacos. Well, what if we do something? No. Tuesday is tacos. Some of us, when we come before the Lord and we pray, it's the same thing we've always said. Why? Because that's what mom and dad said at the dinner table. Why? Because that's what their parents said. And we pass this thing down over the family, over the generations, and we're praying the same thing. It's the endless ritual. It's not communicating with our Heavenly Father. It's just what we've always done. And Jesus is saying, hey, when you come before the Lord, here's what you can pray for. But ultimately, it is about this relationship. So yeah, pray for God's agenda, that it would be done here on earth. And give him your needs, because he wants to know. He wants to hear you speak it. Now, when you pray to God, you need to understand who you're praying to. And Jesus is going to take this a step further. He's going to say, not only do I want you to understand who you're praying to, but I want you to understand how this God, how your Heavenly Father responds to these prayers. And so like he often does, he tells them a story. So we'll keep going. Verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. That's a bummer. Verse 7. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. It's midnight. Right? Can you picture it? It's midnight. What are you doing at my home? Okay, keep reading. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of the friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity or your persistence, essentially saying you're bugging them to death, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Now, a couple of things to help us understand this parable, because it's a little interesting. You need to know that midnight for them was significantly later than it is for us. Why? Because of a thing called electricity. When the sun went down, the people went to bed. When the sun came up, the people woke up because they couldn't see. Right? You have like a little candle, but if try it tonight when the sun goes down, just light a candle and walk around with that. It's pointless. May as well go to bed. So for us, this would be more like 2 a.m., 1:30, something like that. Just an awful time, the most inconvenient time there could be. And imagine someone shows up at your door and they just keep knocking. And you're like, shh, or they ring the doorbell, right? You're like, shh, you're going to wake everybody up. What do you want? Bread. why do you want bread? Well, because someone came into town and we have to. This doesn't totally make sense to us. But you have to understand, in a first century culture, there's this idea of hospitality and shame. Meaning if you could not provide hospitality for your guest, you brought shame on your family. This was so huge that it actually spread to the town. So think of Linden for a moment. Say we had a visitor, an outsider come in, and you were not hospitable to them. You didn't even have a loaf of bread for them. That visitor would go, oh man, this is a horrible place to be. There's shame, not on that household, but on this town, this whole community here. And everyone would know, don't go there. Don't go there, because they will not respect you. They will not love you. They will not be hospitable and welcome you. This is a big, big deal. Understand that this is an inconvenience. This is the wrong time to be doing this. And simply the point is this. Remember what Jesus said? He said, you'll get the bread not because of your relationship, not because of your friendship, but because of your audacity to keep on knocking and being persistent. That's the key. And this is really important for a lot of us because we've given up, haven't we, on some of our prayers. You've been praying for certain people for a long time and nothing seems to be working, and so you stopped. And Jesus is saying, here, look, here's a little model. If you want some help, maybe a template, do these things. Pray for God's agenda and give him your needs. But don't give up. Be persistent in what you do. Now, there's something in the Greek language that the New Testament was written in that doesn't translate well to our English, okay? I'm going to blow your mind. I spent a lot of time and a lot of money getting an education in seminary, and it's something called the present imperative. Are you impressed? No one cares. At first glance, you don't care at all. But this is why this is very, very important. Present is like right now. And an imperative is a command. Are you with me? Are you with me? So what Jesus is saying, as you go, I've commanded you every moment you're in the present to keep on keeping on in the prayer. So tomorrow when you wake up, it's still the present, is it not? It's the present because you're there. So keep on keeping on. And the next day when you wake up, it's still the present, right? You can't outrun the present. You are in the present. And the command is to keep on praying. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Keep going and going and going and going and going. I like to think of it this way. My son Nolan he discovered the joys of ringing the doorbell and hiding. I don't know if your kids or grandkids do this or anything, but we'll be inside doing our thing and Nolan will go, hey, I'm going to go outside and go play. And he has just this little grin on his face. We're like, all right, buddy. So he runs around, knocks on the door, rings the doorbell a couple of times. And we're like, oh, who is it? You know, and he can hear us outside. And he's like, a friend. Okay. So we walk over and open the door. And what happens? He's not there, right? He's gone. And we can hear him laughing. He's just right on the side. And we go, is anyone there? Hello? Wait. All right. And we close the door. We walk back in the kitchen. And then ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding. And we're like, okay, coming. You know, we open the door and boom, he's gone. And Nolan will do this over and over and over and over and over until we finally say, hey, buddy, you got to stop. You're driving us nuts. And it's the point that Jesus is trying to make. Not that you're driving God nuts with your prayer, but man, there's something to be said with being persistent, with continuing to come before the Lord and praying again and again and again and again. There's something to that. So number three in your notes, it's the last one. Persistence is key. Not yet doesn't mean no. Not yet does not mean no. Persistence is key. So in the rest of our time, I simply want to ask this question. What is it that you've given up praying about? There's certain things you've been praying for and you haven't seen God move. And so you've stopped. You've given up. There's certain people that you have prayed for and there seems to be zero change in their life. So you've stopped because, well, God's going to do what God's going to do. And what Jesus is saying here is, no, no, no. When you come before your Heavenly Father, you pray again and you pray again and you keep on praying and you don't stop and you pray again and you don't give up and you keep praying. Some of you, you've been praying for your spouse and your marriage is not in a good spot. and it's been months, maybe even years, and you've stopped. Keep praying. Some of you, it's your kids. They're growing up. They're making decisions that you don't want them to do. You don't agree with them. They're contrary to the word of God. And there's this tension in the relationship, and you have prayed, and you have prayed, and you've given up. Some of you, it's health. Some of you, it's your finances. Some of you, it's you. It's an addiction. And you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've stopped because it wasn't working. And the message that we're getting from the scriptures this morning is to be persistent in the prayer. There's something about us continually going towards the Father and saying what we're feeling inside and saying what we are thinking, and it causes the hand of God to move. And I simply want to encourage you, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is that you have given up on today, would you start it again as if it were the very first time? You know that emotion. You know that feeling where you were in a difficult place, where life brought you to your knees and you had to come before the Lord. There was this fervency in your prayer. There was this desperation. There was this crying out to God, and you were certain that He heard you. Would you start that today? Now, we can't wrap up a sermon on prayer without actually spending some time in prayer. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the band to come on up. They're going to play lightly behind us. And I'm going to set you up with three topics. We'll walk through them one at a time. I'm simply going to explain what the topic is and give you a couple moments to pray. You can say it out loud. You can say it in your mind. But what I want to encourage you not to do is just sit there and be aware of God's presence. I want you to engage. And I don't want this to stop here. I want this to continue because persistency in prayer is key. So here's the first topic that I'd like to invite all of us to pray for. The first one is this, and I think it's probably the most important thing we could pray for. I want us to pray for the salvation of specific people. This could be someone in your family. This could be a coworker. This could be somebody that you run into at the coffee shop on a regular basis. You've developed some sort of friendship, and you know a little bit about their life, and you know they need Jesus. So would you just take a couple moments right now? Would you pray for the salvation of specific people? Say their name, how you know them, the relationship that's there. And let's ask God to reveal Himself to those people. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's spend a minute before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. We ask that you would reveal yourself and you would transform hearts in all of the names that were mentioned. And I want to invite us to go to the next topic that we're going to pray for. And I'd like to simply focus this one. There's a lot we could pray for, but I'd like to simply focus on racism and just ask the Lord to eliminate that from our world. It's a big prayer. Ask Him if there's any ounce of prejudice or anything inside of you to reveal it. If there's any of that here within our church, within Linden, Whatcom County, in Washington, that we would simply ask God to step in and intervene. would we learn to see people the way that He sees people. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before You as Your church. And Father, I specifically pray, Lord, that the church would lead the way in reconciling relationships, Lord. Would the world turn to us and learn from us how we are to treat one another, how we are to love one another, how we are to embrace people that are different than us. And through those actions, Father, would many people come to know the goodness of a relationship with Your Son, Jesus. We pray this in His name. The last topic I'd like to invite all of us to pray for is simply inviting the Lord's kingdom to come and reign here on earth. And that might mean a little bit different for everybody, and I think that's the point. But the kingdom of God is basically where whatever God wants to happen is happening. And I have a feeling love is a big part of that. So I want us to take us, I'd like us to take just a couple minutes and ask that the Lord's will would be done here on earth, that He would be glorified, that there would be healing, that there would be love, that there would be forgiveness, there would be joy, there would be peace. So one last time, let's come before the Lord. So, Lord, we come before You. This is Your church. We are Your people, God. And we pray this morning, and we will pray this afternoon, and we will pray this evening, Father, that Your kingdom come. Would You reign here on earth as You do in heaven? Would broken things and broken people be restored? And would You receive glory? May marriages and friendships and families that were fractured, Father, may they come together once again. It's just on my heart this morning, God, for marriages that are broken or maybe even dead. But Father, would Your Spirit move? And would those families and those people receive hope? And may they know that you are the God that specializes in resurrecting dead things. And so, God, we pray for healing. We pray for hope. And Lord, I pray that it would start here with this group of people, with our friends and family that are watching online, with the people that are here in the parking lot, and the people that call this place home that are unable to make it here this morning. God, would it start with us, and would it start with our prayers? May we never give up. May we never stop coming before You, our Heavenly Father, and simply communicating with You. And Father, would we step back and watch that change literally everything? We pray this as a church family in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen, amen. The very first part in the Lord's Prayer says, Father, hallowed be thy name. How holy, how set apart, would his name get glory? That's an attitude of worship. And so would you stand with us? We're going to sing one more song of worship.